Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host, Bill Jack, also in studio today, as we come back to understanding the times. The men of Issachar were those who understood the times. That was the name of David Noble's book a number of years ago. Bill, I'm sure you remember Understanding the Times.
Still a classic in worldview training and understanding and categorizing various worldviews in 10 disciplines.
It's so important for us to understand how people think and how that impacts culture. Ideas have consequences. Ideas work their way out into human behavior. We need to understand the worldviews that underlie what is going on all around us. Otherwise, we'll be taken by these worldviews. I think that's the message that David Noble and others have impressed upon us over the last 40 to 50 years.
Yeah, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ.
Sometimes we just have to step back and say, what in the world are we thinking? And what is everybody else thinking? And where are we going? And what am I doing in this handbasket? These sorts of questions are important, friends. Otherwise, we wind up being taken away by the flow of ideas and the cultural flow that is all around us and seems to be rushing faster and faster and faster. And what is that rushing noise I hear? Oh, that's Niagara Falls. So we need to understand the river of ideas all around us, and we need to know where we are going. Mindshare Partners reports on a study completed on mental health in the workplace. Very interesting stuff here, Bill. The younger generation, turns out, they have far less mental stamina compared to the general population. Get this, by threefold. That is, they're three times more likely to have mental problems in the workplace. That's not going to do well for the macro economy, my friends, but 50% of millennials and three quarters of Gen Zers have left the job over mental health concerns, according to this study done by Mindshare Partners. There is a reason for this, and there's a difference in the raising of the present generation versus previous generations, and certainly the social situation, the environment, has contributed something to what is going on with the millennials and the Gen Zers. For example, only 6% of baby boomers were conceived out of wedlock. 40% of Gen Zers were conceived out of wedlock. Only 0.01% of baby boomer kids were aborted in the early 1960s, while 25% of Gen Zers were killed in their mother's wombs. If mothers and fathers are killing siblings, that's got to have something of an influence upon the minds of those who were raised in the 1970s, 1980s, and 1990s. That's our point. It's inevitable, my friends. It's inevitable. Gen Z kids were taking 120 million grams of Adderall and Ritalin by 2017, up from 2 million grams taken by Gen X kids in the 1980s. That would be a 60-fold increase. No, I didn't say a 60% increase. I said a 60-fold increase. That's 60 times the percentage of kids on drugs as were on these drugs 25 years ago. Teens spend 7 hours and 22 minutes a day on average on screen time, but it is an individualized, isolated screen time, and that does not include homework or school-involved activities. In the last 4 years, Common Sense Media has discovered that regular TV watching has decreased by 50%, replaced by, you got it, personal electronic devices, the isolated, individualized form. 86% of their screen time is taken up with TV, gaming, browsing websites, and social media. You know, Bill, this is a very interesting age. There is this impression, if you walk around, there is this impression that everybody has everything together, that everybody is looking very cool, very rich, very proud, very self-possessed, very together. But more than ever before in human history, they are out of their minds, insane. Are you with me? There's something weird going on. There's something very weird going on. Are you getting it?
Oh yeah, and I think you can. You're dancing around the issue with all these stats, but they all point to one thing, and that is lack of community, isolation.
Yeah,
it is inward focused. rather than outward focused. It is all about me rather than about, first of all, my relationship with God, and then how can I serve others and proclaim His truth.
This is a very interesting age. The committees in the insane asylum meet to discuss the august and wonderfully morally advanced topic of transgendering 5-year-old kindergarten kids. The house of cards is blowing in the wind. The mental composure of a nation is cracking right down the middle right now. We'll be back in just a moment to explain why this is happening on Generations.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
We are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you. And Bill, as we analyze the problem, 50% of millennials, 75% of Gen Zers are quitting jobs over mental problems. That is nowhere near the mental strength that previous generations had. We're finding that the present generation is unraveling, mentally speaking, and friends, it's due to a number of things. First thing we should do is distinguish between sins and the consequences of sin. So I think that's important as Christians to keep that in mind. We need to understand that there is such a thing as a sin, that is the transgression of the law of God, the breaking of God's laws, and then the consequences of sin. You remember in Galatians chapter 6, we read, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." So the sowing is sin. The reaping is the consequences of those sins. Does that make sense, Bill? There's the sins, and certainly in many cases, the sins of the fathers, sins of abortion, killing kids out of selfishness, committing sexual sin, illegitimate divorce. And, you know, the baby boom generation, the Gen Xers were guilty of those sins, as are the millennial generation. There hasn't been anything of a repentance, as far as I see. There is not a repentance going on in relation to shacking up, in relation to homosexuality, perverse forms of sexuality, in relation to sort of that self-centered, just kill the kids if they get in our way kind of mentality. Haven't seen repentance in the area of these sins, but these sins result in certain consequences, which would include the collapse of mental health in America. I refer to Romans 1:28. "Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done." So let's go back into the 1960s, when the Warren Court decided to take all reference to the Ten Commandments, the Word of God, any mention of God, out of the public discourse and out of the public schools in America. They did not want any knowledge of God in the classrooms. And so, see, that would be a sin. And then God gave them over to a depraved mind as a consequence of that.
Right. I mean, and you can't get any more depraved than removing God's word from the minds of children. Yeah. And removing his influence and the influence of truth and grace on the minds of children.
We're asking the question, how does one come to an instability of mind? Why is it that the majority of the younger generation is mentally unstable and incapable of going to work and retaining a job? Why is this? Why the breakdown of the mental stability of a nation? Why is this? This obviously does not bode well for the future of the nation. But why does this happen? The first thing, Bill, I think it's obvious because we get it from Romans 1, the verse I just read. They did not retain God in their thoughts. They didn't retain God in their thoughts. You tell a kid, you're cosmic dust. God doesn't exist. You are nothing but cosmic dust. You are nothing but cosmic dust. Over a period of 30 to 40 to 50 years, you're going to be in trouble. He's, after a while, going to believe he's cosmic dust, and he's going to act upon that. You give him 20 years of Star Trek, reminding him there's no ultimate purpose in the universe. There's no God, only products of evolution. Over 20 years, that society will go insane. I think we just have to say, you give somebody 20, 30, 40 years of Star Trek, the kids that watch it, by and large, will go insane. You agree? I mean, unless there's somebody critiquing every single show, but what happens is they watch this stuff, and what happens, Bill? Without any critique, what happens?
They begin to think that way, and how you think is how you are.
You know, I was on a ferry boat last week, and they're playing a popular science fiction movie, I think it was one of the Men in Black, where humans were crossbreeding with aliens. It's kind of disgusting, you know.
Right.
Star Trek did the same thing. But, you know, humans crossbreeding, sort of that bestiality thing that keeps coming back. It's increasingly popular today. There's been at least three movies that feature bestiality, and they're popular movies. And I'm sure many Christians are enjoying them, or quote-unquote Christians are enjoying them. But what does that say to kids when we see humans crossbreeding with aliens? What does that say to kids?
It breaks down the barriers of what is right and wrong, what is acceptable and unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And when you start blurring the lines, then anything becomes possible.
So ethically, you see a total breakdown. But how about metaphysically, where you don't distinguish yourself anymore from the animal kingdom? So you're a dog, and you can breed with a cat. That's basically what is being communicated by this movie. You're a dog, you can breed with a cat or anything else.
It goes back to what you referenced in Romans chapter 1. It says, they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Now notice that they don't exchange God's glory for the object itself. It says it's for the image of the object. Mm. They get down so low that when they do look up and worship, all they can see are sticks and stones.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty low.
Yeah,
that's
about
pretty
as low,
low
as you can go. Well, friends, you just give your children this media. You give your children this impression. You give them an evolutionary way of thinking. You give them 10 million scenes bombarding kids out of movies, YouTubes, science videos, and all the rest that constitute the 99.9% of what you get on Discovery Channel and what you get on HBO, what you get on NBC, ABC, CBS, and what you get on Fox News, and what you get in the university classroom and the K-12 classrooms across America. You give your kids 10 million suggestions that they are nothing but cosmic dust floating around a universe of pure chance. They will go insane. They will go insane.
What is the ultimate insanity?
Denying God.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we've done as a culture.
You deny God, you deny purpose, you deny ethics, you deny everything. And you effectively give a society up to total insanity. We also saw the destruction of family relationships in the 1960s, 1970s, 1980s. And this was the beginning of isolation for modern man. John Paul Sartre, the father of modern culture, the father of modern existentialism. John Paul Sartre is the father of modern motion pictures. He is the father of existentialism. He said, hell is other people. And he effectively represented the worldview of Cain, who killed his brother, killed relationship, and then he wandered like a vagabond in the wilderness east of Eden. And that's really where modern man has gone since the 1920s and 1930s. And, friends, the massive increase in the use of drugs, America is the most drugged-out society in the world, 410 million prescriptions per year of psychotropic drugs, that would be, what, about 1.5 prescriptions per person in America today? That's a 300% increase since 2000. And for children taking psychotropic drugs, we've seen a 2,500% increase since 1992. Well, isolation eventually produces insanity. And I go back to the movie featuring the actor Tom Hanks. You remember the movie called Castaway? He developed a relationship. It was a little bit of a modern-day Robinson Crusoe, but while he was on the island, he developed a relationship with Wilson. You remember Wilson?
Yeah, Wilson was a soccer ball.
Yeah, he developed a relationship with a soccer ball. Now, this would be an excellent presentation of modern man. And this is the intent, of course, of these movies that are done by people who understand that they are representing the zeitgeist and that people are going to receive it because they identify with it. Now, friends, you need to understand that these cultural devices, like motion pictures, much like what Tom Hanks did with Castaway, is there to meet the needs of those who live east of Eden. This is for Cain. This is for John Paul Sartre and all of his followers. The hell is other people worldview. This is exactly what people relate to. Insanity is what develops out of the isolation of modern man. It was a very memorable movie, Bill.
It was a twist on the Robinson Crusoe movie, or the story. And in the Robinson Crusoe, which is recognized as the first English novel, it was the story of a man who rebelled against his father and ran away to sea, rebelled against his father's wishes. And what happens is he is shipwrecked. He is isolated. He is forced to live with himself. And it drives him to the end of himself as he's rummaging through a sea chest that he has taken off the ship. He finds a book that he's overlooked. That book is the Bible.
Yeah.
He reads it. He comes to faith in Christ. He reestablishes his relationship with his Father in heaven. And then he doesn't develop a relationship with a soccer ball. God brings him a man to disciple Friday.
Right.
So now they have community.
Right.
And then God rescues them after many adventures and mistrials and trials and tribulations, and they return to discover that Robinson Crusoe has been left an inheritance. It is the story of the Christian's walk through this life.
Yeah.
By contrast, Tom Hanks' character is driven to the point of insanity.
Yeah.
Because he begins to talk to a soccer ball. And it is by his...
Instead of God.
Instead of God.
That's all assumed. I think everybody understands that this is rebellion against God, a refusal to bow a knee to God, to return to God.
Yep.
But rather, he chooses insanity over reestablishing a relationship with the true and living God. This is post-Christian apostasy at its very, very, very most self-conscious level.
And then he, by his own ingenuity, escapes the island. He worships nature, looking up at God's creation, and he just says something inane like, "I've forgotten how big it is." When he returns home, his life still is in shambles. Because his life has fallen apart. And it is in contrast to Robinson Crusoe. It's in contrast to a biblical worldview. This is self-made man. It is the humanist version of Robinson Crusoe.
The modern world exalts in its isolation and its insanity. So keep that in mind. The modern world exalts in this. They want the isolation. They press the isolation into us. Modern media is meant to isolate you. That's why they make the devices. That's why they produce the message that they do. It's all about isolation. Modern man has been attracted by isolation, and he throws himself into isolation. And technology offers the isolation, and man embraces that isolation. He grabs onto it, and there's hardly any coming back from the precipice of isolation, sadly. Well, since 2007, with the development of the iPhone, of course, isolation was placed on steroids, especially for kids. Now, 10 years later, what was it, 95% or 98% of teens are on the iPhone almost all day? I can't remember if it's 95 or 98%, up from 85% 4 years ago.
Here, let me check my iPhone Google.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let you know.
Well, the isolation is complete. That's the point. But thanks be to God, Jesus can save us from the whirlpool of modern isolation, the hell of modern isolation. It turns out John Paul Sartre was wrong. He said hell is other people. No, no. Hell is isolation. Hell is isolation from God, and hell is isolation from community for eternity. Friends, this is the return to God that Jesus provides to us. He reconciles us to God, and then he reconciles us to each other. He enables us to restore relationship in marriage, in family, in church, so that the man is not running into the basement to watch his TV program. He's not isolating himself in his electronic mediums. He's not running away and running away and running away because he doesn't want to deal with real relationship with his wife and his children. No, no, that's not what Jesus does. Jesus restores relationship in marriage and family and church, and then he enables us in the context of relationship to love. A love that bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things, endures all things. You say that's a miracle that Jesus could restore that. Yes, it is a total miracle that Jesus could restore relationship in the postmodern age and restore love. The ultimate test of life back in relationship is love. Can we love? Can we forgive each other 470 times a day, even through the conflicts? Or do we run away from conflicts? Or do we learn to love one another through the conflicts? You see, that's the core of it. That's the manifestation of the restoration of relationship with God and with others in the context of family and church. And friends, yes, the world will isolate itself east of Eden and wander around in the desert of loneliness, cut away from human relationship forever and ever, unless relationship is restored with the true and living God, as so well demonstrated in the story of Robinson Crusoe. So as we wrap this up, Bill, I'd just like to throw out some practical things. Prioritize relationship. As human beings, as fathers, as mothers, as brothers and sisters, prioritize your face-to-face relationships over constant use of email and phone. Just drive over to somebody's house. You know, Bill, I started to do this, just dropping in on people. I know it's weird. I did it with you. Remember that? I just dropped in one day. Right. I've been doing this more. So far, Bill, here's the good news. I have not been thrown out of anybody's home yet. But I'd like to just show up unannounced. It's a new thing for me. And it's forcing me out of sitting in front of my computer all day. It's for me first, I guess, in some respects. It's me getting out of my electronic world and connecting with people. You know, you might think that's weird, but I'm just doing that. I want to get away from the phone. I want to get away from the electronic forms, and I want to get in front of people. Okay, secondly, let's go with relational discipleship in the homes. First and foremost with our families, but also next week is Shepherd's Conference for men. You know, I've done this for what, 7 years, 8 years?
Yeah, you've done it quite a few years.
Quite a few years. So every year we invite people over to my home. And this is one thing I want to do. See, we are using electronic forms here, Bill. Everybody's listening on electronic forms. They are. But from the beginning, Bill, it was my vision to cross over the relational barriers. And Bill, I know most of the electronic programs, you know, D. James Kennedy never invited me over to his home. You know, John
really?
MacArthur has never invited me to his home. But I still think it's critical that we cross through these relational boundaries. And friends, Shepherd's Conference next week at my home. And here's one more thing, Bill. We're doing a spiritual deep dive for young people and their parents, doing it in my home in January. In fact, you're teaching for one of the sessions. That's we're doing it in the home. About 40 young people have signed up for this. And we're just going to go for 3 days. relational discipleship in our home. Sing together as a family instead of listening to music. Don't use earbuds or earphones. Unplug, listen, and sing together. Work together as families. And here, before I'm done, one last thing for millennials, for young people. Young people, if you're going to be successful, submit yourself to good discipleship. I really think the mentorship is, that relational discipleship is key. Start listening to older people. Respect their advice. Lean into long-term discipleship. If an older person, elder in your church or a deacon is willing to meet with you once a week and commit to it for 2 years, see, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. You say, how can I break out of this? I tell my kids, don't be millennials. No, I just tell them that. They say, well, Dad, but I was born in, 2006.
Yeah, but you don't have to,
tough. I don't care.
You don't have to be labeled. You don't have to.
Just get off the merry-go-round. Right. Just get off the train. Stop being a millennial. Don't do what everybody else does. Don't listen to the same music everybody else listens to. Don't act the way everybody else acts. Don't talk the way everybody else talks. Just don't be a millennial. And ask yourself some questions, too. Am I redeeming the time? The days are evil, right? Redeem the time. The days are evil. You just watched 10 YouTubes. What was the value of that? How were you edified? How will it change your life? How did you contribute to the lives of others by watching those YouTubes? Yeah, just at least step back and ask yourself these questions. Are you really awakened to reality by what you're doing? Are these mediums luring you asleep on the enchanted ground? Is your mind turning to mush? Are you more watchful now against evil, now that you've saturated your brain with these opioids? You know, that kind of thing. What's happening? Sometimes we have to step back and say, what's happening to me as I am employing these mediums in my life? So, young people, ask yourself the questions. Are you really redeeming the time? Can you control your electronics, or should you just get rid of them? Are they helping you in family and church relationships? I mean, really, really. Does all the Facebook and all the Instagram over the last 2 years of your life, how has that improved your relationships? All I'm asking is that you step back and assess. That's all I'm asking. Step back and assess. Are they really helping you in your relationships? Do they help you excel in your job, in your thinking? I told one young man he was having trouble with pornography. And I told him, I said, here's a suggestion. I'm not telling you to do this, but here's a suggestion. Super glue your cell phone to the kitchen table. I said,
make sure it's face down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I said, at the very least, you're going to have a hard time taking that table into the bed with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, what is the medium doing? If you are alive in Christ, rise up and walk in newness of life. Reckon yourself to be dead to sin and alive to righteousness. Take control. Take control. Beat the sin. By the grace of God, by the power of the resurrected Christ in your life, take control. God calls young men and young women to sobriety, to seriousness, to be on your guard, to be vigilant, to be in prayer. God calls you to the fear of God, to humility. Study humility. Study the fear of God. Be sober. Understand the times. And you will not go insane with the rest of them. And that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio Broadcast. I encourage you to our copy of Robinson Crusoe. We actually have restored the fully original copy of Robinson Crusoe with all the biblical and Christian background to the story. So all of that available in our edition of Robinson Crusoe. We also have Swiss Family Robinson. We went back and found the original writings, the original translations of Swiss Family Robinson, and it turns out there was a lot more Christian material than Disney included in their version of Swiss Family Robinson. So we have republished Heidi. We've republished Robinson Crusoe. We've republished Swiss Family Robinson with the original Christian content. All of those excellent books available at our website. It would make wonderful Christmas presents as well. So go to our website and grab the classics, the Christian classics that were meant as Christian classics with all the Christian content restored to them, reprinted by Generations at generations.org. Get your copy of Swiss Family Robinson, Robinson Crusoe, and Heidi, the original Christian content included at at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.